Sounds good.
Okay, now, for all the wonderful prophecies that you've seen from Micha so far, especially regarding all the nations coming together and the peace and the dropping all the weapons and the promises for the renewal after Ashur and Babel are both destroyed, which means it's a far-reaching prophecy because Micha is living long before Babel even destroyed us, and he already speaks of their destruction. So now he's going to end his book with a protracted nevuah for evil for Israel, because before all this good happens, there's going to be some bad, right, for both the north and the south, right? And it's a typical way to end the book. This is really the stretch of the book. And then, of course, at the very end, he cleans things up a little. So I'll start us off. Kol Hashem Lo'ir. Kol Hashem Lo'ir. Right? This is a warning against all the violence that's going on in Israel. The voice of God, which Targum says, speaks through the Navi, right? Against the city. Yikra is calling. But Tushia Yireshmecha. Tushia is a biblical word, not used in modern Hebrew. Anyone ever hear it used in modern Hebrew? No. It's a biblical word used very often in Mishle, it means wisdom. Okay, in fact, we had the word this morning. Right? The word that looked like it this morning. Yeah. Alright, so Tushiyeh Yireshmecha. Shim'u Mateh. Watch out. Here, listen for the Mateh, which is a sign of punishment, Paranut. Right? Umi Yodah, and who is the one who invites it to come? Be aware that punishment is coming, and it's coming for me, not just haphazard. Very interesting linguistic point. I'll just read the next pasuk, and then we'll go around. Od Ha'ish Beis Rasha Otsos Resha. Is there no more wickedness and stores of wickedness, storehouses of wickedness? Efas Razon Zuma. Ish here means the same as Yesh. And what Rashi does on this pasuk is he shows how many times in Tanakh an Aleph takes the place of a Yud? This is a very typical Sephardic thing to do, like an Ibn Janach kind of thing to do, an Ibn Ezra kind of thing to do. And Rashi in the Vim is sometimes more pshat than he is in the Torah. In the Torah, Rashi might have made some kind of drush on this, but he just says, no, that's a rare biblical usage of Hayesh. It means it's mockery. He goes, come on, everybody, open up the storehouses of wickedness in Israel. There's plenty of them. And what's Efas Razon Zuma? Think of it. Who makes weight smaller? Consumer or the merchant?
Merchant.
Right? Okay, so he's speaking of wickedness of the storehouse, in the marketplace. Okay, Ha'ezkeh b'mozne resha u'bekish avne mirma. Shall I make a schus out of the weights of Resha, out of the pocket where that keeps false weights? Now, which pocket keeps false weights? The merchant or the consumer?
The merchant.
The consumer has it in his pocket. The merchant has it on a shelf. Right? So what he's trying to say in the last pasuk is that they're cheating on the merchant side, but they're also cheating on the consumer side. He comes with weights too. Right? So you know, in one of Rashi's first cases when he came to be the chief rabbi of France was a case of false weights where a Jew was cheating non-Jews. Actually made its way into the little Rashi movie, but it's a famous tshuva where he says that Jews have to deal with just weights in the marketplace of Jews as well as non-Jews. We take it for granted. It wasn't so granted back then. All right? Okay, let's read around. How about, Sheila, would you get us started there?
You know? אשר אשירי המלוך חמש יושבי דיבור שחר ושנה ממייה בפיין.
Okay, so the rich ones are doing violence. All the residents speak lies, and their tongues are speak deceit. Now, this is a very important point to Pasuk in Beis. The point Micha wants to make is that the rich cause the poverty of the poor. You can see perhaps some political statements made in this country about distribution of wealth and the like. The Gemara Maseches Shabbos says there will always be poor people on earth. Even in Mashiach's time, there will be poor people. We do not believe in a socialist utopia that says if you solve man's economic problems, you will solve man's physical and existential issues.
Exactly.
And that's the pasuk that's brought down in the Sefer Shabbos to prove Ein Bein Olam Hazeh V'Imos Mashiach L'Shuv B'Malchus Kovad, that the world will not change, because the first thing you might have thought that would change is poverty. There shouldn't be any poverty when Mashiach comes. Not so. There will be poverty, but not for the reason of this pasuk. You know why there'll be poverty when Mashiach comes? Because people will be satisfied with Pasta Melech Tochal and Mayim Masuret Yishteh. They will feel that they're rich, but from an objective standpoint, they will be poor. Micha is saying, no. They're poor because rich people want to keep them poor, like the feudal system, let's say, right? Okay, that's what's going on in Israel, and Micha is speaking against it. Yud Gimel. Helen, if you take this point.
Gamani Hachleisi Hakos Sechar. Ashemim al
Chatzasechem. Not an easy pasuk, but what it means is the Navi talking, representing the people, so to say, but he's saying, God will hit you until you get sick. I doubt if that's the English translation you have in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I just gave it the interpretation of the Das Mikra, because it's a difficult pasuk. What do you have? Is it in the translation?
I have hurt you as well by smiting you, bringing desolation for your
okay,
sins.
Okay, that's not far from it. Okay. Hashmeim, like the word Lashem Shmama, right? Al Chatzasecha, because of your sins.
More than Chalit, Lefi, that should be sicknesses?
Yeah, like Chol, I've made you sick through hitting you.
And so they're translating it as...
You see it then?
I have hurt you by smiting you.
Now, what we're about to read, I told you, very, very harsh, and it's going to sound just like the Tochacha of the Torah, especially Dvarim. Dvarim's Tochacha has a lot of tzukim on the fact of the investments we will put into things, into fields, into children, into property, that our enemies will take from us. Those tzukim sound familiar? Right. You will bear their children, they'll be taken into captivity. You will plant vineyards, you will not eat of the grapes. You will plant fields, you will not eat the crops.
Right.
Okay, so here it says, Ata tochal v'lo tispa. You will eat, but you will not be satisfied. The yesh chacho, anyone guess what that word means? Don't try. It's a hepaxagamina. Remember what that means? Hepaxagamina is a Greek word that means a word that appears once in a body of literature.
Yeah.
In our case, the Bible. There's no shorish. Yudshin Ches, Yeshach Shocha. So it's not so simple to figure out what it means. Okay, Rashi says, "Amachol shetochal achnis po me'ero b'tocha me'ayim b'yigrom l'cha choli." Right? Some read vomit. Some read. I mean,
they have here will stoop over the part of sickness in their inner.
Right. Okay.
Sure. Cause your intent.
Oh, it means bend over. Is that what it says? Then you will stoop
over.
Stoop over. Okay. Well, that word certainly appears in the Bible.
What word?
Lashuach. Mishtachaveh comes from that word. Right. Right. So you will be stooped over. All right. But
that could be the root, unless the same word wouldn't be there if
that was
the root.
Yeah. Targum reads v'heloch limra b'me'och. There will be an intestinal difficulty in digesting your food. Your food will rot inside you. Right? That's not such a nice thing to say, but okay. All right, v'taseh v'lo taflit. Now, here, Das Mikra says, I think this is the pshat. You will take something, but you will not swallow it. You will not spit it out. So Targum, the Das Mikra says it means you will conceive, but you will not give birth.
That's what's happening.
Okay.
Right, that's what's right. Here.
V'asher tefaleit l'cher v'tein. And what you give birth to will fall by the sword. Okay.
And isn't that related to the word for lethargy?
No. It's etymologically connected, Stanley, because a refugee is spit out from the captivity. So the float means to spit, right? Kibolo kachpolka. The law means to swallow, the float means to spit. So a palit, correct in connecting them etymologically, is definitely connected to that word. Okay. I thought this rabbalo tiktor, this now sounds very much like the tochacha. Alan, are you ready? Stanley, would you read?
Okay.
Atat
Israel below tiktor. Atat Yidroch Layas. v'lo sasuch shaman, v'shirosh v'lo tishka yoyim.
Why does the shirosh stand alone like that?
It's not part of the clause.
It is, yes, it's part of the previous clause. That's why it stands alone. It should be atoti drok zayis v'lo tasuch shaman. You will literally step on the olive, so you know, in a vat. But you will not oil yourselves. You will not benefit from the oil. That's tot tidroch, because what you do to the zayit is the same thing that you do to the tirosh. Right? Mm-hmm. You will make wine, but you will not drink. Right? Get like beito. Okay. Now Micha gets specific. You see, Micha is after this. Micha is a generation or two after Omri and Achav. But Omri and Achav were the two really awful kings of the north. Omri ruled only 7 days, but Achav ruled 22 years. Remember Achav's wicked wife, Jezebel? Jezebel with all her. Remember who was the Nabi at that time?
Eliyahu, yeah.
It's amazing Eliyahu doesn't get a book in Treasa. Mm. It's amazing. You know, he's considered to be Yonah's Rebbe and Habakkuk's Rebbe and Elisha's Rebbe, and Elisha doesn't have a book either, but it's just amazing. It's a wonder the Gemara just says is that some Nevi'im left us material and some Nevi'im didn't. Mm. Actually, there's a Musar in the Mechilta, I think his family is thinking of telling us right now, that he was punished. Remember?
No, I
don't think so. This week's of Torah. No, not this week, next week's of Torah. He's punished for disparaging B'nai Yisrael when Hashem asked him on the mountain what's on his mind. He said, I'm very zealous and the Jews do this, they do that, they do that, they do that. So the Medrash says, he lost his nevuah and Hashem didn't give him a book to write.
But they have a lot about him and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not accepted.
Not only that, but there's more Midrashim on Eliyahu than just about anyone else. Mm-hmm. Because he's always allegedly with us. Okay, so you're still holding on to the laws, so to say, the habits of Omri. Now this is really 60-70 years since Omri. Continue to go in their evil path, so that this also seems to be mockery a bit, so that I can destroy you and all of your residents. Lishreka v'cherpas amiti sa'u. What is Shreka? Is
everybody will whistle?
Whistle, yeah. You have that necha, yeah. Right? That the nations will whistle at you.
Is this only spelled the same way as Sharon's son, or is this spelled in Arabic or something? Sharon's son, Omri.
Yep. Omri?
Yep. Question is,
is it iron or
if is this? Is this King Omri was such a rotten guy.
That was amazing. I can't believe it was a nine.
Maybe he spells it with an owl.
I hope so.
Does anybody?
Anybody know? See it in print?
Does anybody know if anybody nowadays is named Eli with an iron, like the Kohen?
I've never met anyone with the name.
Usually it's an abbreviation or something else.
Mm-hmm. With an owl, because the mother.
He was a good person, wasn't he?
Reasonably.
I'm saying something interesting, because there's a Tosfos that appears in a number of places in Shas whenever a person named Avshalom appears.
I know somebody
says, we went to school with someone named Avshalom. Tosfos always says, change the name to Avishalom, because no Tana would ever be named Avshalom. Mm-hmm.
I know one person, Hebrew name Avshalom, and that person, that's probably his Hebrew name, but his English name is also Absalom.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Allah Lili, you familiar with that line in a piyut from Tisha B'Av? There's a poem on Tisha B'Av that all the lines end with the two words Allah Lili. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very harsh statement. I mean, it could come right out of the Holocaust too, what that piyut is about. Okay, it starts off with a story that's from Tanakh. It's the first line is that women were driven to eat their children. Alal Alim. Let's say, Al Nashim Bachlam Nashim Piryam, something like that. Alal Alim. Okay, so it comes from here. It says, Lashem Yilala, like Oyveg. Kiyisi ke'astei kayit ke'olulos batzir. Ein eshkol echo bikura yivsan afshi. I'm like a man who's picking up the late summer fruits, but there's nothing left on the tree. There's nothing left to pick. There's no survivors. That's really what it means. Okay? So he says, look in Pasuk Beis. Here's one more.
Al harat hapayim lehitir hasar shoel vashofet vashinun vagadol dover havat nafsho hu yaad tumo.
Okay. Don't be afraid by these difficult words. I want to do Pasuk Gimel first, and I'll come back to Pasuk Beis. Right? Okay, he says, Haraka Paim Lehitiv. People are anxious to put payments into their palms. You see, that's exactly how the Pasuk continues. Hasar Shoel Vashofet Vashilum. The officer makes his request, gives his shofad, and the judge gets his payment. Right? The gadol dover habas nafsho. The gadol, the one on even on top of both of them, just speaks his perverted mind, whatever he wants. Beyavsuha, and they're all in cahoots together. You see the word beyavsuha avos. Avos means that, like a knot, a web. It's a web of conspiracy of corruption, and it stinks from the head. Stinks from the gadol, right? Can there be anything but poverty for the masses? Okay. Let's get back to Pasuk Beis though, and he says, "Avad chasid min ha'aretz," and there's no yashrus amongst men. They are all lying in wait to shed blood. Each one, his brother, tries to hunt down to utterly destroy. Can we look at? And if you have the whole Tanakh here, most of you have the whole Tanakh, right? I'd like to look up four psukim right now, if I may. Okay, first one is Yirmiyahu Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph. Look that up. Yirmiyahu Hei Aleph. How much can you test this salad then?
10:80.
I really have to preach. I wasn't expecting to have dinner.
10:82.
Can you read Perek Hei Pasuk Aleph? Dan, can you read?
Okay. So the two bechutos of Yerushalayim were Eina Udu Uvatshu Bir Kol Boseha Tim Tzu Is Yesh Kutem Mispat Vakesem Una Esla Flo.
Okay, you get the gist of that Nivor, right? Find me just one good person and I'll save this city. Right? Sounds like the Sodom story, right? Good. Let's look at a pasuk just like it. Reishis Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Chaf Dalet.
What was it?
Genesis 18:24.
Okay.
Now, so do you have your finger? I'm sorry, I should have told you to keep your finger on the Yirmiyahu Pasuk. Do you see any extra words in both of these tzukim? Where is Yirmiyahu asked to look for these people?
Four.
I don't got it. He's not just saying maybe there are 50 tzaddikim in Sodom. He says, Layish Hamishim tzaddikim b'shoch ha'ir. Right? Sure. And Yirmiyahu says, I don't want to just find one tzaddik. You'll find tzaddikim in Israel. Right? I want you to show me that they're b'shchutzos Yerushalayim, that they're on Broadway, that people see them, that they may get their influence felt. I don't want just what you call a tzaddik in pelts. You know what that is? right? There is pelicans in your skin. I think it's an English word.
Fur.
Right? Yeah. It's just his tzaddik in his own fur. He just hides away under his own coat. So you see how our pasuk works. Avad chosid min ha'aretz. Micha's not just looking for a chosid, he's looking for a chosid in the aretz. Now, to just wrap it all up, take a look at Koheles, Perek Zion pasuk Chof. Koheles Zion Chof. About 1145.
Okay.
1142.
No. 17.
720.
11.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1740.
It was
11.
Where's Zion?
77 verse 20.
So it's 1740.
1740. Yeah. Okay. Look for a similar word in this passage, please.
The RS.
It was verse.
Okay.
What was the verse?
He said 720. Zayin Chof. He says, "Ki Adam ain tzadik ba'aretz." She said, "Tavol yechta." What is the gist of this pasuk in Koheles? Everybody sins, right? Mm-hmm. But he adds the word ba'aretz. Everybody in the land sins. Think back to our pasuk in Bereshit. What is it that Avram is looking for in Sodom, and why?
Translation doesn't include city.
He's looking. Oh, really? But Avram is looking for 50 tzaddikim b'socha ir. Yeah. Why does he want them b'socha ir?
So their influence is felt.
Their influence is felt. People will realize that there's some righteous. Maybe Avram doesn't want. Avram's not a bleeding heart liberal who wants the wicked murderers of Sodom to live so they can wickedly murder other people.
In the midst of the city.
Right, he wants them to hopefully have an influence on these wicked people, and then let's all live. And the same is true about Yirmiyahu. He's not just looking for righteous people, he's looking for them in the city. And that's what Koheles is saying. You can live a whole life of righteousness in your own four amos and never leave the house, live in a hermitage. But that's not Judaism. Right? That's not holiness. Holiness is getting out and being out, even if it means that you're going to lose something of yourself.
So did they decide that Lot and his family, they aren't being out there, so they have to just take them away instead of...
No, but Lot didn't in number 10. They needed 10, at least 10 like that.
Wouldn't it also work the other way also, though, that the fact that if someone's a tzaddik but they're not within the ear, so there's really no merit for the ear to be saved, but the fact that someone could, if the ear could cultivate a tzaddik, even if the people themselves are a shaman, then there obviously some...
Right. It's interesting that in the end, Hashem could have said, listen, there are not 10, so everyone's dying in Sodom. Hashem said, if there is a tzaddik who actually goes out and invites people in, he's going to be saved even if you don't have 10. Right? Every tzaddik is going to be saved. But if you have 10 tzaddikim who are besocha ir, like Lot, by inviting someone in, then I will save the whole city.
Is that... work with the idea of a minyan that 10 people together can do something that 10 individuals
could be. The Gemara discusses why Avram stopped at 10. Why didn't you go down to 5?
But Noah, they say it's 8, and
Old was on, was on board.
And then also God was at 10.
So this seems in a way the opposite of the legend of the 36 righteous who Tzadikim, who really are not known, they're hidden, right? And they are the foundation of the world, according to that legend.
If you know them, then that's it.
Right here, it's like they have to be in the midst of the city.
I remember years ago, we had this very righteous person in the shul, and then he accepted an honor in the shul for like the Kesha Award. So I said, sorry, can't be one of the Lama Vovnik anymore, because it's public now, you know. I said that when I introduced him.
That's funny.
All right, so... let's go to Pasuk Dal. Tovam, the best of them, kechedek yosor mimsucha. I got to tell you, you have to be an expert in Hebrew to pick this up. Because do people understand these words? What do these words mean?
Maybe Ganmei did. Sometimes we'll say that there are words in the Tanakh that are hard to know because probably there are much greater words. It was spoken language.
Oh, absolutely. Plus, these words have ancient Near Eastern cognates that might have made it very easy for them. Plus, you have to remember they're speaking in metaphors, and they're using You know, remember Hosea said, you all commit adultery like bakers.
Mm-hmm.
What? What does that mean to us? So Rashi tells us a baker starts baking the bread at 4 o'clock in the morning so that people can be ready when the people are preparing for breakfast. And he finishes his work, you know, pretty early in the morning, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, when the men are off to work, and he's free to commit adultery. Plus, it's a cute, and we knew Hosea like this. The word ofeh and ni'uf, you know, and he makes a whole parak out of comparing adultery to baking bread. And the rising bread with the woman who's bearing the child. I mean, it's amazing what Hosea does with this stuff. So, but if we didn't pick up on the metaphors, you know, I don't know or we say, have idioms that wouldn't even make sense to someone who speaks English 100 years ago. How much more so someone from another language?
I got some email that talked about these things that were mistranslated from Hebrew.
Right.
And so they have these weird expressions in English that it was a mistranslation.
Yeah, of course. Mm. It happens in between languages all the time. Mm. We just saw one this morning, the Mashtim Bekir. Remember that? That was very interesting. Okay, so what does it mean? Targum, Rashi quotes Targum. It says, Tovam ki chedek yashar min sucha. It says, Tov of the behom, the best of them. Koshe lemipak min yidei kad min chidka. With the koshit behom misyuga siyog bish. So it's chedek, it means a gluing, a connection, right? Is that what you have in the English? And
four, dalet?
Yeah.
On the day of your expectation? Yeah, the best of them is like a thorn, the upright one like a hedge of thistles.
Mm-hmm.
On the day of your expectation, your punishment will come. Now you will become perplexed.
Okay, what he says is that when you put your hand into a thorn bush, putting it in is really quite simple. It's pulling it out that's the difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
The Medrash says is one of the reasons why Hashem appears to Moshe in a thorn bush. Going into Egypt is pretty easy. Now going out is just going to be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
The story is going to involve plagues and changing minds and getting a lot of disappointments. So Rashi rejected that parish because it implies that the bush is Egypt, and it's not. God is in the bush, not Egypt. So Rashi had to find a Medrash that fit what the symbol of the burning bush is that has God in there, and he found it. God is in pain with us. He's surrounded by thorns. Anyway, he's saying easy, like pulling out from thorns. Best of them is like it's hard to deal with as pulling thorns. Okay, all right. So I'm telling you that your day of confusion is going to be upon you, and it's coming. Right. Let's keep moving because this is quite a large parrot. So, would you help us with that? Hey. This is a pasuk almost exactly like this in Yirmiyahu. It's in the Haftar of Tisha B'Av. And Mamash almost the same lashon. It says, "Do not believe in a brother. Do not trust a friend. Do not trust the person on your right side." Ki kol och akov Yaakov. The kol rea b'mirma, every brother is going to act treacherously because he's out for his own family too. He says, "I'm going to give your son or my son. One of them is going to die. My son is going to live. You can't trust a brother." So he says the same thing here: don't trust a friend, don't have any faith in the champion. Okay, mi socheves chaykecha, even the one who sleeps by your side, shmor pischei picha, worry about what you say, they'll turn against you. Yirmiyahu speaks about shomrei tzal'i, the people who guarded my ribs. In other words, the people who were so close to me, like you parted from the ribs, and you can't trust them. Ki bein menabel av, bat kama b'ima, kala b'chamota. Remember, even at the end of the war, when the Germans had these children who were handing in their father, I mean, in the communist world also, you're familiar with that in China, even to this day, you have children handing in their parents because they hear them say just a word at them. I'm sure you know about this, Glenn. You know, at
the Soviet
Union, table, you know.
In the Soviet Union, under Stalin, especially, kids were lionized. This was like a big deal. And the hero children were the ones who turned in their
parents. Right. They made orphans for themselves. Right.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And I found interesting here, though, it says a son does it to his father, a daughter to her mother, and a daughter-in-law to her mother-in-law. Now, the Gemara says that there's natural enmity between the two of them. And here, you know, this is compared to the mother and daughter. Anyway, we have a beautiful model between Ruth and Naomi in the Tanakh, so we shouldn't be too concerned. Oyvei ish anshei beisho. You'll become enemies with the people of your own house. Kal v'chomer with your other neighbors. But things are going to get so bad, that's what's going to happen. V'ani b'Hashem atzapeh. But I, this is Micha talking, representing the Jews who are listening. I look to Hashem for my expectations. Ochilo leloke yishi. Okay. And we'll pray, like v'yichal, to the Lord of my salvation. Yishma'eni elokai, and God will hear me. Okay, now you think that things are going to turn now. They're not. We're in for more. Okay? So go ahead and help us with the pasuk chas here. Alti smichi. I'm saying that even if I fall, I know that it's Hashem that made me fall, and Hashem that will get me up. So right? So don't be happy, my enemy.
No, this is positive.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, my friend.
This is still positive.
Yeah, yeah, I say so, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Micha is acknowledging, though, that when all that I predict will happen, we have to blame ourselves. Zaf Hashem eso ki chotosi lo. I, and Kal v'chomer, other people, but even I have sinned to him. So whatever he does to me, I deserve. But he still will fight my battle. He still will press my case. And he'll bring me to light when I hopefully will see his righteousness. Right? And here he's talking about fighting my battle against the Goyim, l'chora. There is no evidence that Micha was attacked like Yirmiyahu and Hosea. Hosea was, I mean, he had to marry that harlot, because when he was attacked, he pressed God to reject Bnei Yisrael. So Hashem said, you think it's so easy to reject my people? See if you reject a wife that you think is not loyal to you. Right? Micha, Adarabba, seems to be one of the most successful prophets in Tanakh, and we have evidence. Remember what I'm talking about? Yirmiyahu chapter 26. Not just a rarity, a unique phenomenon in Tanakh. Sefer Yirmiyahu, 150 years after Micha, he predicts the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, Bnei Israel taken. It's a very celebrated long chapter. I'm going to be teaching it tomorrow in NYU. Very long chapter, and he says, Bnei Israel grab him, and they want to kill him. How dare you predict the destruction of the Beis God's holy house, and they're about to kill him. And then some people come and say, wait a second, don't kill him! We heard that Micha said the same thing. Yirmiyahu is saying here, and Bnei Yisrael didn't kill him. They listened to him, and basically this wasn't destroyed, so it behooves us. And they quote it. They cite the pasuk that Micha mentioned. Back in Perek Gimel. So that is the... that shows that Micha was
people
heated.
Listen.
Yeah.
Is Micha talking to Israel or Yehuda or both?
Yehuda. He mentions Israel at times, but his main audience was Yehuda, together with Yishayahu.
Is his name related to, like, this one place where it's spelled differently, but it's still pronounced Micha?
Spelled in Aleph sometimes?
Sometimes I have to ask.
They're all bad guys.
Pardon?
They're bad guys.
What are the bad guys? Oh.
Is there, the Michas earlier tonight are bad people.
What about this one time it's spelled with a Yud? I wonder if it has to do with
Michayu? No. There's a Michayu.
Uh-huh.
But that's someone else. But here it's you know, the very famous guy who choked him, who would go with the idols. The end of choked him. Pesal Micha. Supposedly he took it into Kriyas Yamsuf with him, or Bavarba Yam Sarah. Okay. Alright, so Vetere Oyati Utchasebusha Omro Eli Ayo Hashem Elohayach. Enaitir Enaba Atoti El Mirmas Kitit Hutos. Right, so he says, I want to see my enemy and I want him to be covered in shame that he tells me, where is your God? It's simple, simple pshat. I want my eye to see now, soon, speedily, that he should be trampled on like clay in the fields, like clay in outdoors. Yom liv nos kedei rayach, yom ahu yirchak chok. And the day shall come to build up the fences, and the assumption is they were knocked down by the Assyrians, and start to mention Ashur. That day, yirchak chok, zmano yarich velo yavo la'olam. Okay, that day will not come, you should be long, long away to build up your fences of these people who are my enemies. May your fences never be built.
Is that the word cloak, or is it some kind of like, you know, like azad,
it's a pun, yeah.
Oh. So is it?
Oh no, cloak means, no, like cloak uzman. You ever see that, Lashon? Cloak means like, this is my cloak, means my diet, my time. It could be like a set regimen. Good.
And this relates to the words like adam dam and rak.
No, I think it's just a pun. It's a pun. Yom hu ve'odecha yavo limini. How about Marvin? Did you read?
Yom hu ve'odecha yavo limini. Ashur ve'avei matzoru. Limini matzori ha'nahar ve'yom yom ba'har ha'am.
These psukim are starting to get difficult. Okay, so what he's saying is that day is coming, and it's coming soon, and it's coming from Ashur, the Mini Ashur, Min Ashur, and from the Arei Matsor means that the fortified cities. This day of vengeance of which I speak, Ashur is bringing it soon. Well, the Mini Matsor va'ad Nahar v'yam miyam v'har ha'har. It's all alliteration. It just says that it's coming, they're crossing over the river, probably the Euphrates, and they're actually on their way down to cross the Har Hahar. Now, Har Hahar is a mountain in Chutz La'aretz where Aram died, right? Har Hahar, right? So it could be that they're just saying they're coming down from the border of Israel on the east side of the Yarden, and they're going to come in from that direction. He's predicting how Ashur's trajectory into Israel. For I saw Aretz l'shmama al yoshvehem mipri malaleihem. This land will be destroyed and be desolate because of them, just as a fruit of their actions. Mm. Well, I hope this changes soon, because, you know, Mitzvah is supposed to be a good Navi, right? Mm. Okay. Now, Re'eh, this next Lashon Re'eh, is not a Lashon from Ra'ah, meaning evil, but lashon of like ro'eh, meaning Hashem ro'i lo echsor. You see the first word in Targum? It's parnes, which means a leader. Parnes at Sibor, you know, parnes that comes from that word. Okay, ro'eh amcha b'shiftecha. Would you like to be honest here? Would you continue?
Yes. Ro'eh amcha b'shiftecha, son nachalatecha, shafni l'fardad, Ya'ar b'toch Carmel Yeru Vashan V'gilad Kimei Olam.
Wow. How are we going to work on this book? Alright, so the point of Pasuk Gadol is that we're turning the corner now. Right? Do you feel it? Say we want to bring back good leadership. That's the first step to fixing our situation, right? It's precisely because of our evil kings that we find ourselves in this situation. Remember Omri and Ahav that we just mentioned. The first thing is we have to have Re'ei Amcha B'Shiftecha. Find a good leadership of the tribes. Tzon Nachlasecha, the sheep of your Nachla. Shochni Levadad Ya'ar B'Sof Carmel. They will reside alone, and that's a good thing. You see, Badad in Yirmiyahu describes Echa Yeshua Badad as a bad thing. But can you think of the word in a good way in the Torah?
Bilam.
Yes, Ambadad. Bilam says Yishkam. They're a nation that will be Badad, meaning that they'll be protected. No one's going to come and bother them. That's, he's using it in Bilam's way here. Like a forest in the midst of the Carmel. Now, forest and Carmel are two totally different types of land. Carmel is to grow for grain and for fruits. Yar is to grow for wood. You can't grow both in the same place. Yar b'sof Carmel means that you will have in very, very close proximity great Ya'ar and great Carmel. I have this beautiful picture in my office of it's a small, like a postcard with four pictures of it, four pictures taken on the same day in Israel. There's one with snow and one with, you know, the sunshine. There's one with amazing picture. Four pictures taken on the same day. So it means, and it's the size of New Jersey, right? And it's smaller square miles in New Jersey, and you can have in that same little area such as Yar and Carmel and so it's, you know, going all around. Yeruv Bashan and Gilad Kmei Olam. Bashan and Gilad are very famous for productivity. Remember, that's what God wanted to be there. Right? Mm-hmm. Paros HaBashan, you know, Amos referred to the fat women as the Paros HaBashan.
And Bashan has to do with where the gold line is today?
Absolutely. That's where Menashe was. That they took from Og. Right? Mm-hmm. Og Melech HaBashan. Yeah, this is, you know, much of this area was inhabited significantly by Jews right after the conquest. You know, most of the inhabited areas now, like Haifa, Tel Aviv, you know, the coastline, what we didn't have until the time of David Shlomo. Right? The main populated areas are the places that are, you know, has all traditionally been in disputes, but, you know, the Haifa, Tel Aviv, Netanya, those kind of places that Jews never lived in the time of Tanakh. Anyway, so I can give you miracles that the way you have left Egypt. Now, you didn't end up deserving it, but I can do that. Right? Okay, let's build up the excitement here. We're finishing up. Moshe, would you like to help us out?
Yiru goyim v'yevoshim mikol gvurasam yasimu yad al peh azneihem techerashna.
One more.
Yilachachu afar penachash kizochale eretz yugizu emiskelosehem el Hashem Elokeinu yifchadu yiru mimecha memecha.
Okay, basically what he's saying here is that just as I called upon the wrath of Ashur to serve as God's rod, the rod of his wrath, so too days will come when these nations will be very, very much ashamed of all their gvura that they applied against us. Right? Put your mouth, your hands to your mouth. Oh my God, go like this. Okay, they'll eat the dust. Okay. Right, so in the end they'll get the message. I don't know if that day has come yet, but
doesn't seem like it.
Okay. Now here's, remember I gave you out the Tomer Dvorah two weeks ago. Tomer Dvorah, which is a Kabbalistic work by Moshe Cordovero, says, he opens up his book with this. He says that all the Musar a Jew needs to know to reach perfection is at the last few psukim of Micha. Wouldn't you like to know how? First of all, the Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah says that the 13 Midos of Hashem are all hinted here. Hashem Hashem Kirach Mucham Yerachapayim Chasivim, all hinted in these last few psukim. Okay, I'm not going to go through the Talmud Bar because it is quite Kabbalistic and it is it'll take up weeks and weeks on its own, and I'd rather stick with the Nevi'im. But it's for your use, and I think some of you actually blessed to get so far in an English translation of Talmud Bar. Were you able to work with it? Is it
big idea?
Still hard even in English.
It's difficult.
Yeah. Okay. All right. If you have it, Moshe Cordovero, he was the Rebbe of the Arizal in Kabbalah. You can picture that's a pretty good credential, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And he learned from Yosef Kara.
Correct. And Yosef Kara lived a very advanced age. You know, the Arizal died very young. But Yosef Kara actually once attended a shir of Kabbalah from the Arizal and he fell asleep. Mm-hmm. That's the word, that he fell asleep. So there are different opinions of why, you know, when you're in a Kabbalah share, everyone looks for reasons for every little thing that happens. Right? it's just amazing, though, that in the Middle Ages, Kabbalists always fell out of the mainstream. I mean, to this day, it's almost like, you know, the Kabbalah center. Is that mainstream Judaism or not? So
New Age Judaism.
But in the Christians also, the Christians had their Kabbalists, the Muslims had their Kabbalists, and they were persecuted. by their various religions. But in Judaism, I think until very recently, but, and I wouldn't call the Kabbalah center persecuted, but in Judaism, the Kabbalists were in the mamash, the mainstream. Rabban, Rabban Yona, you know, mamash in the mainstream.
He was the film ago?
Yeah, from Gomes, it was a master in Kabbalah. And that you would expect to be the master of everything, but they stay with Kabbalah, and yeah, he's going to stick to Kabbalah. But no, these guys were with Mamashti, the Gedolim in Halacha were also the same Gedolim in Kabbalah. Okay, so me, Kiel Kamocha, Noshe Avon Vaver Al Pesha. So the Gemara learns a beautiful point from this, that God himself will be the one who will Noshe Avon, because let's say you have a scale right here, right? Here is my Avon, here is my Zechus, right? So what happens to the scale? This is my mitzvah, my averus. What happens to the scale when God lifts up the avon? See what's happening?
Makes it as if they're more...
The mitzvah side goes down. Okay. And two ways to have a successful year for Rosh Hashanah. One is to add on more mitzvahs, and one is to do tshuva to knock out the avonos.
Mm-hmm.
And the scale avon means I'll uplift it. And you have to have the image of a scale to see the other thing. And then he says, Vovera Pesha. Now, rather than just say that these are two parallel terms, the Gemara preferred to say, Lemi Hashem Nosei Avon, Lemi Sheover Al Pesha. God will lift up the sin of those who are Over Al Pesha, those who are called Ma'avir Al Hamidos. You forgive someone else for the Pesha they did to you. God will forgive you of the Avon you did to him. And Hashem will only do for us what we're ready to do for others. Hashem doesn't stay angry forever. Please don't worry about that, because Hashem does want chesed. Like Yemiel says in chapter 3, will I remember this grudge against you forever? In which case I have to get rid of you because I divorced you and then you went to another god afterwards. How can I take you back? It's like a woman who's divorced who goes to another husband. She can't go back to the first husband. So Hashem says, I'm not going to bear this grudge because I'm a chesed. You know, a chesed always forgives. Right. This is why what we do on Rosh Hashanah is called Tashlich,
mm-hmm.
according to the Ramah, and why people think that what you're doing is throwing sins away. Right? The original source of Tashlich in the Maril is either to recreate the story of the Akedas Yitzchak, where Avram went up to his neck in water, so he, you know. If this water separated us between us and God's will, would we still go through the water and get to the other side? Another interpretation is that kings used to be anointed or crowned near a body of water to symbolize the Mashiach of his kingship, which should be flowing, which should continue to your son. So, but then over time, the event came to be known as something where you symbolically throw out something, and then people started throwing bread or food to the fishes. Either as a sign of compassion, see, I'm taking care of animals that don't belong to me, so God, you take the care and feed me this year, mm-hmm. or simply as a sign of throwing something away. I'm against it. Posting more against throwing bread in the water.
Is it less of a problem if you do it on during the week?
And so during the week, it has a separate problem. It's called Balfashas. Mm-hmm. Now, on Yontif, you know, you're not allowed to carry on Yontif Shalom L'Tzorach Klal. And carrying on Yontif is shalom l'tzorach ochal nefesh. That's what the Gemara means. You're allowed to carry without the need of food. So you're allowed to carry a key, a sefer, right? But you can't carry something with no purpose at all. You can't carry muktzah on Yontif. Carrying muktzah on Yontif, it's a mamash violation of Torah. So you're certainly not allowed to carry bread in order to throw it away and do an avera. There's another technicality the Machtis Hasheka points out, is that you're not supposed to feed animals that don't belong to you. You may come to hunt them. That's pretty remote.
On Yom Tov, or just
on Shabbos. So during the week, you know, it might be preferable if you're going to throw bread in to do it during the week. Anyway, Titain Emes LiYakov Chesed LaAbraham Hashem Nishpat LoSin MeKedem. Point is that it's wonderful to have Chesed, and Avram was very well known for Chesed. But Chesed is valueless unless it comes with Emes. What do I mean? Is that you can have, you know, a relative, you know, you look at evil this way, and you look at evil that way, and everything is going to be relative if there's no emes. You know what I'm saying? Everyone wants to get a benefit of the doubt, and don't call him a terrorist, call him a militant, call him an activist. You see what the news programs are calling, you know, people who murder discretion or anything. But so we say and the book is saying, listen, I support all this chesed, and but it has to be done within the framework.
What's interesting says chesed la'avraham, and Abraham was known for chesed, but when it says emes
Yaakov, Yaakov was quite known for that's like just titan emes.
Sometimes he was.
That's precisely the point. That in only the Baal Emes knows when it's appropriate to stretch it.
Right.
But that's why Yaakov is first, because Emes has to define the Chesed, not vice versa.
Okay.
That you have promised us from the beginning of time, meaning from the time of the Torah, Yishkoyach Chazak Chazak Nischazek, to finish Micha, may we be Zokah to start other Svarim of Tanakh, include them. And next week, Amir Hashem, we'll start and finish Ovadia, it's all one parent. It's the Torah Parshas Vayishlach. We'll have time to put all that. Okay, Yishkoyach. Oh, no, I'm going to make a l'chaim on the Canada Dry. Anyone here from Dora? Tell me she will be coming.
Maybe the weather.
Yeah, that may be the rain.
I'm going to go to the wind.
Brian, how was the rest of the program?
I was.